Welcome to the Expert Speak, a service of the Florida Psychiatric Society. I'm Abby Strauss, and thanks for listening.
The numbers are that 3 million cataract surgeries occur in the United States every year. That's an impressive number. Matthew Weiss is an ophthalmologist. He is a physician who is a surgeon who actually performs surgeries. He's kind enough to talk to us about this particular surgery and why it is so common and the fact that 3 million, that's a very impressive number. Thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Cataract is an exceptionally common and important topic. Now, you mentioned 3 million surgeries a year in the U.S. alone, but it's really just the tip of the iceberg. As of most recent numbers, about 25 million people over the age of 40 in the U.S. have been diagnosed with cataracts. Statistically, those numbers are only climbing. So it's estimated to be over 38 million by 2030 and double from our current numbers to about 50 million by the year 2050. So this is a very common problem and one that's only going to become not only more common, but on a social level, more important for us as a society.
Let's begin with a simple definition. What is a cataract? Is it more prone in women or men? Just give us a little bit of an overview.
In its most simple terms, what a cataract is just a clouding or opacification of the natural crystalline lens that we have inside our eyes. And in terms of how that develops, actually, the pathophysiology is a highly complex and multifactorial process between genetics and environment and nutrition and external systemic factors. And actually, the research in terms of how they develop is still ongoing today. There's still more that we're learning every year. This is one of the most common things that we deal with in ophthalmology, and it's extremely prevalent, being at this point over about 25 million cases in the U.S. Globally, of course, that's much bigger. Cataracts are the leading cause of blindness worldwide. A study in journal Nature actually in 2020 suggested that actually 17 million people globally are blind from the condition, 83 million living with visual impairment from cataracts that they can't get care for. So, again, this is a pretty widespread and global problem, not just a U.S. problem.
You mentioned in the middle of the sentence that it's so common, but the number of people who can't get care for it, it's rather a devastating thing to think about something for which a treatment does exist. But
yeah, absolutely. There's a whole lot of data on that. Studies, there are racial disparities in access to care, and cataract surgery mirrors in many ways those limitations. Globally, though, there are many underserved communities. There are projects around the world to fly eye surgeons or boat eye surgeons into areas where none exists so that they can, there are basically eye surgical suites on these planes and boats and allowing doctors to get where they're needed the most. It is humbling to think that this is something that's a procedure that we'll talk about later. It takes about 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, we could give sight back to 17 million people who are living without vision. And so it's definitely something that we need to consider more as a society, especially as projections show that the rate of this problem are only growing, whereas there is some attrition in the number of ophthalmologists who actually perform the procedures. It's expected that as we move forward, as I mentioned, in the 2030s, 2050s, that there could be a drastic shortage of care even in this country.
That's problematic to say the least. Does it occur in both eyes? When you get your eyes examined, one lens is always different than the other lens. Are cataracts bilateral?
I mean, it depends on the cause. The most common cause of cataracts are really just age-related. And of course, there's a lot to go into that. Exposures, smoking, drinking, diet, as I mentioned. At the end of the day, all of us statistically will develop clouding of our lens. It's a natural physiologic process. Usually by the time you have cataract surgery or you're ready to have cataract surgery in one eye, naturally the other eye would have a cataract too. And say that both eyes are always ready at the same time, many patients feel that way. But there are a lot of instances where there's natural asymmetry between the two lenses. Like any surgery, you don't want to fix what ain't broken, as they say. And it comes down to when the patient's having actual issues that we really proceed with the second eye. But commonly after your first eye is done and the patient's realized what they've been missing out on, they actually tend to notice that the better eye isn't the eye that isn't as good as they thought it was. There are a lot of other reasons why people get cataracts in one eye too. So trauma, inflammation, all of those tend to be unilateral, and congenital cataracts even in babies. All of these have their own considerations and complex natures that we as surgeons have to take into account.
One of the things that people have asked me when I told them I was going to talk to you about cataracts is if we could spend just a moment describing the difference between LASIK procedures and cataract surgery, people will think that they will see better. In a brief note, what's the difference between LASIK surgery and cataract?
It's a question I get all the time, and a good question. Cataract surgery is the process of physically removing a lens from the eye, a cataract from the eye, and replacing it with a new prosthetic, what we call pseudophakic lens. It's a process known as phacoemulsification. It's based on the ultrasonic breakdown of and removal of these opaque lens proteins. This all happens inside the eye. It is an intraocular surgery, and it is a lens-based surgery. The heart of cataract surgery is the removal and replacement, again, of a cataract, which I tend to stress even in my exams in clinic because, as you said, cataract surgery gets this aura about it that it can fix everything, when in fact it really doesn't. It removes this clouding and replaces it with a new lens. Separate problems, things like macular degeneration, glaucoma, all can continue to limit vision even after surgery. And so that's really where the cataract surgery portion of things come into play. LASIK, on the other hand, is a refractive surgery that we do, specifically involving the cornea or the external clear covering of the eye. LASIK is designed to do no more than what a pair of glasses or contacts would do. In other words, if you have a cataract or if you have macular degeneration, LASIK can't make you see better. It just focuses things in the same way as a pair of glasses. And so specifically the process of LASIK, the modern procedure, is typically done with a two-laser system where we use a femtosecond-based laser to create a flap or a partial thickness opening in the cornea, the front layer of the eye. And a second laser called an excimer laser is then used to polish or shape the cornea into a manner that's consistent with focusing light on the retina in the same way that a pair of glasses. After which we put that opening flap back down. And because the only part of the front of the eye that's really disrupted is the microscopic outline of that flap, LASIK tends to be a very quick healing and a procedure with really a minimal discomfort profile. Two procedures that, as an end result in a patient with no other ocular conditions, can improve sight, improve or reduce the dependency of a patient on glasses, but they're both are done in a different manner with, again, a little bit of a different focus.
Fair enough. I have a question about the lenses. You can buy a more expensive lens. That makes no sense to me. Because I don't know what the difference is. Isn't a lens a lens? Why? And are they made individually for the person, or are they universal? Talk, if you would, please, about the item of the lens itself that you insert.
This, again, goes back to the heart of the nature of cataract surgery. So, again, the nature of cataract surgery, and this is, to be fair, primarily defined by the American insurance system, it is a procedure designed to remove a cataract that is obstructing vision in a manner that is affecting a patient's activities of daily living. By that definition, the goal of the surgery is not to improve one's glasses or spectacle-free independence. It's simply to remove a clouding that is impairing the physician's ability to give glasses to correct vision. The standard lenses that come with surgery that the insurances pay for are what are known as monofocal lenses. These are lenses for one target distance only. But they also only take care of one component of a glasses prescription, what we call spheres. So this is whether you're nearsighted or farsighted. But they don't address things like astigmatism, which is the eye being shaped asymmetrically, or rather more like a football than a basketball, longer in one axis and shorter in the other. And they don't address presbyopia, which is the process that actually naturally occurs as we develop cataracts starting after our 40s, where the lens inside the eye is becoming less flexible, and therefore, even if you can see 20/20 for distance, you might still need reading glasses to see anything up close. And so, again, these standard lenses, if you will, are about getting us close to the target, but they ignore these other aspects of a glasses prescription that would make someone more spectacle independent. There are patients, of course, who are without astigmatism, who don't mind reading glasses, who would do wonderfully with a standard lens as the insurance would pay for. And that person might have 20/20 distance vision even without paying a penny more. But for a lot of us who have astigmatism, myself included, these other lenses just give more opportunity to correct all parts of the glasses prescription in a manner that is more fitting to a patient's needs. The reason why these lenses aren't covered by insurance in the United States actually kind of goes back to your question on LASIK, LASIK is seen as a manner of almost cosmetic surgery in the sense that you can accomplish the same feat by using glasses or contact lenses in a non-surgical manner. And insurance won't pay for LASIK or refractive surgery because of that reason. And so for the same reason, insurance companies view these extra options, these, if you will, premium option lenses, as not directly necessary to accomplishing the core mission of cataract surgery, which is to remove the cataract. Because we have the opportunity to effectively accomplish two things at once, improving the clarity of the optical system by removing the cataract and improving the focus of light as it reaches the retina, that we use these options to not only improve patients' lives from a clarity perspective, but from a glasses-free perspective as well.
Was a good answer because it clarified some of the differences. And I think a lot of people would, are there differences? Shouldn't a lens be a lens? But it's not just the lens, as you said, it's the entirety of the eye that's being taken into consideration. And that's
correct.
I didn't know that. So I thank you for that.
And definitely it's an important topic for lots of reasons, because part of being an eye surgeon, part of doing the surgery isn't just the procedure, it's talking to the patient, it's listening to the patient, and seeing what the patient's needs are. Just because these lenses exist doesn't mean that everyone needs them. They're not covered by insurance, and as long as glasses are a reasonable expected outcome, the standard lens works very well. There are plenty of cases where those other lenses, no matter how much money you're willing to throw at surgery, wouldn't benefit the patients. This goes back to what I was mentioning a moment ago about things like macular degeneration and glaucoma. These are conditions that on a physiologic level affect how light is processed by the brain. And these are patients who, for instance, might do very poorly with a multifocal or presbyopia correcting lens for near and far vision. And this is a patient who might do better with a monofocal or even a standard lens. There's a lot of matching the lens to the patient. And actually, that goes back to a question you mentioned as well. Are these lenses specifically produced for the individual? And the answer is no. These lenses are manufactured in sizes similar to shoe sizes. Most of them come in half diopter steps, diopter being our unit of measure. It turns out that that's pretty much as good as we need to be able to do for the moment. As much as it sounds like a great idea on paper to say, you know, how about we just 3D print a lens, the reality is we don't know how to do that yet, because what we're doing in the preoperative process for cataract surgery is we're taking lots and lots of measurements. So anyone who goes to have surgery will likely spend some time in the clinic getting lots of pictures and measurements taken. And what those are designed to do is we feed those into multiple algorithms and computers, models similar to the models we would use for predicting hurricane paths that predict what necessary power of an intraocular lens is best for an individual person. It turns out that there's a lot of individuality in predicting the future, of course. And since everyone heals a little bit differently, there's no lens that you could hypothetically make preoperatively that would be 100% correct postoperatively for a patient. So that's really why these lenses do have a little bit of wiggle room in them. They are not built for the person.
Interesting. Which then brings us to, how long is the recovery? Is this a surgery? It's outpatient. Like you said, it's 10 minutes. People go home at the end of the day. When do you consider recovery done? When do you dismiss the patient from more intense monitoring after surgery? What does recovery mean to you?
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways we could define that. If we're defining it from an insurance perspective, cataract surgery comes with what's called a 90-day global period, meaning anything of or related to the surgery during that period is basically covered by the initial fee of surgery. From a surgeon's perspective, from a restrictions perspective, pretty much all restrictions are lifted after about a month, which is when we see most patients being healed. Of course, we all heal differently. We all have different ocular comorbidities. So I see this week in, week out in my clinic where, because of how common this is, people try to compare themselves to their friends, and that's not always possible. Sometimes we're apples and oranges. And so someone who has a really dense cataract, by definition, will have more swelling than somebody who doesn't. Somebody who has a very mild cataract may be seeing perfectly the day after surgery, whereas someone who has a much more intense cataract would definitely not or should not expect to see, quote, perfectly the day after surgery. So there is definitely a lot of individual variation. Then again, there also are other conditions that affect healing as well. One very common condition, which I deal with frequently, is something called Fuchs dystrophy. Fuchs dystrophy is a condition where the inner layer of our cornea, the cells on that inner layer called endothelial cells, they're genetically programmed to die off at a rate that's quicker than the average cornea. The end result of that is that when we are performing this intraocular surgery, patients with this condition effectively have fewer reserves to heal from. So in a patient with Fuchs dystrophy, we might expect the healing to go out beyond 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or sometimes patients require other interventions even from there. It's a tough question to answer, even for my patients in clinic, but I tend to try to reinforce to them that healing is truly individual and trying not to compare ourselves to our neighbors.
I have a silly question.
Sure.
You're putting something man-made into the eye. I'm assuming it is not rigid. Is it safe to rub your eye? I know that sounds very adolescent and curious, but how pliable is the lens? How pliable and resilient to this type of activity does the eye become? Does it become normal, or is it always evident that there's something artificial in the eye?
There are a couple aspects of that question that are important. So first things first, the current generation of intraocular lenses are generally flexible. The most common material used to create these lenses would be a form of acrylic. And in fact, the lenses are inserted into the eye in a rolled up fashion, and they unfurl after insertion. It's what allows us to insert these lenses through a smaller opening than the diameter of the lens would otherwise allow. There are other materials used, like silicone lenses. And worldwide, as we talked about, a global problem, the silicone lenses I'm describing tend to be the more expensive lenses. When cataract surgery was initially developed, the initial form of lens was a PMMA lens. And a PMMA lens is a rigid plastic polymer. And so those lenses do require bigger incisions. It doesn't mean worse outcomes. In fact, in other countries where different forms of cataract surgery are performed, this lens can be used with great outcomes and with a cost that's at times about a fifth of what it costs to do cataract surgery in the United States. And regardless of the lens material, the important thing to remember when you're thinking about cataract surgery and ocular anatomy, the lens that we're removing, the cataract in the eye, is actually deeper, or rather deep to the iris, or the colored part of the eye. And so in order for someone to interact with the actual lens, regardless of its material, it would require basically severe ocular trauma, because just like you really can't rub your own lens, your own natural crystalline lens before surgery, you really can't rub or get to the place where the new lens is inserted. You asked if someone can always look in and see there's something artificial, and that is true too. This is, at the end of the day, a prosthetic device. Just like if you had an amputated arm or leg, you would be able to see this prosthetic. When you have a microscope, you can actually see this lens inside the eye. In general, these lenses really last forever. They are meant to be a lifelong lens. So it's something that after cataract surgery, an eye doctor will continue to follow into the future. And there are reasons why we follow those lenses as well.
This is really a walkthrough, a topic that I think very few people have given much thought to. And when there are roughly 3 million procedures a year in the United States, it's worthy of the discussion. And my final caveat to listeners is, if you are thinking of cataract surgery, don't hesitate. Find out exactly what you have and make appropriate plans. I wish we had more time. Matthew Weiss is an ophthalmologist who does these actual surgeries. Extremely helpful, sir, in giving us some inside information to what this is all about. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.